Good morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity to once again be able to stand here and to bring the message that I feel that God has given to me. I was asked recently if Pastor Tim mentioned in Sunday school that everybody he felt should have the opportunity to stand up here. And I was asked if that was true. And I have to say that there are parts of that that I would say there's just the work of the Spirit you can feel that takes over you when you bring the message. But sometimes getting the message together that you feel that God wants you to bring, it's not always easy. And this one was not an easy one. Because when I'm asked to speak, I pray and I just try to keep my eyes and ears open to things that I hear and allow God through the Spirit to kind of highlight something I hear, something I see. And that's a lot of times I feel like the messages that he gives are to me personally. So I just want to say again, thank you for your patience and for your belief in me to stand up here to bring God's message. And I just pray that you would hear what he would have you hear and not myself. Our scripture today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. May God add his blessing to his word. The scripture that we just read, I'm going to call that the answer. So we're going to look at some questions that is the answer to. The obvious question is, what is faith? Well, we just read it. Assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. We know how the world was created through faith, because we believe that the scriptures are true and inerrant. If you were to read the rest of chapter 11, I welcome you to go back and do so. You will see that it gives a history of some of God's prominent people and their faith, the promises that were given to them, and the faith that they had to have in order for God's promises to come true. Now, even though the promises were made to them, they did not do God's will in order to earn these promises. I will read the same chapter, 11, verses 13 through 16. It says, and this is speaking of all these people, Abraham and Abel, Noah. So these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. When Abraham was asked to offer up Isaac, he wasn't doing so because of any of the promises or covenant of anything on earth, the descendants, the great nation that he was to be made into. This is not why he was being obedient. He was being obedient because this is what God asked of him. Simple. This is what God asked, so this is what he was going to do. He knew that if he got no reward here on earth, he had a reward in heaven. He knew that if this was God's will for him to become a great nation, that God could raise Isaac back from the dead. Because if God said it was going to happen, then it would. And so, this brings me to the title that I have given today's message. I know it wasn't in the bulletin, but what are we offering to show our faith? What do we have to give God to show our faith? And I apologize, I will be reading quite a few different scriptures to bring some things together. We'll start with 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends the rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This lady had one meal left, one last meal. There was a drought. There was no way to get any more food. And she was asked to share it. She was asked to share the very last that she had. I'm also going to read from Mark chapter 12. Verses 41 through 44. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on, the last of her money." The very last of what she had to live on. And then turn to John chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Now, I will point out that this is the one miracle that's in all 4 of the Gospels, the only one that's in all 4 Gospels. However, John is the only one that makes reference to a little boy as to where they got the bread and fish. Out there with all the people, 5,000 men, they estimate that there could have been upwards of around 20,000 people. And all they could find was one little boy who had some food. Now, whether somebody else had food that they didn't want to share, we don't know. But we find this little boy who had a little bit of food, and he gave the food that he had to share. Even though it was meaningless, some of us may have argued and said, "Well, this is what I have. Why? You can't feed all the people with this." But it just tells us that the food was given and it was shared. Now, I take these 3 different accounts. There are so many in the Bible, but I want to point out once again that people gave everything. It wasn't out of abundance. And so the question for us today is, what do I have? Some of us may be blessed with monetary things, may have plenty. So it may not be much to give a little, or even we're able to give a lot. But the lady at the temple gave all. So maybe money isn't what you have a little of. But showing our faith is giving that which we don't have much of. Maybe it's time. Maybe you're so busy, but you only have a few minutes. Maybe you're in a rush. You have a meeting. You have somewhere to be. And then somebody stops you and asks you, "Hey, can I borrow your phone for a minute? I need to make a phone call. Can you help me change a tire?" You're already in a rush. Maybe that's the time to show your faith in God. Maybe that's the time that your time means something when you didn't have it to give. Maybe when you're not having much to eat and somebody stops by and asks to share a meal, even though you know that now you're going to be hungry, but you're willing to share that which you didn't have much of. That's when we show our faith. That's when our faith is important, because that determines how we live. When that person needs something and we don't have very much to show, we don't have very much, our pockets, that person asks, you know, and you have a dollar and that was for your lunch, and you give it away. as I say this, I have to look in the mirror and ask myself the same question. Have I been down to nothing and said I have nothing to give? But did I? I will leave you with one more piece of scripture. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment, this benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that, as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. I pray that that would be what we all seek to do, to give abundantly, and to see that maybe we gather little, but we still have plenty. To look around and to realize that we don't belong here on this earth. This is just a point that we're at right now, but we don't belong here. Just as those in the Bible that we read about realized they didn't belong here. So the things of this earth that we're given are a means to help others. And maybe by that gesture, they may find wealth, a wealth in God. And that can be our example that we live out. So I ask each person to think. I know there's many, many of you are so generous. And as was stated here, I can attest to the generosity. I know. And as we're getting ready for the mission field, I know that many of you may not have much to give, but you're giving willingly of your time, your prayers, your money. And that is to be commended. And we are so appreciative. But I do ask you to think about, what do you have that you're not giving? Maybe you don't have a lot of patience, so you avoid situations where you might need it. There's always something that we don't have much of that God wants. I don't know why he works that way, but as we just read, he wants your last. He wants the thing that you treasure, the thing you don't have much of. Maybe you're not feeling that great that day, and you don't really want to talk to somebody, and they sit down next to you. Do you get up and move? Or do you bear it and talk and see what God can do? Maybe you don't really feel like smiling that day. A simple smile can do a lot. What is it that we don't have that we can find some way to give?